Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. I want to go to the 10th chapter, Romans chapter number 10. Today was a special day here at Word of God. We had a ring ceremony for our soon-to-be seniors of Word of God Academy. Hallelujah. And it was precious. The elementary chapel on the elementary campus was overwhelming with emotion. I started the chapel. I felt led to get all of our sixth graders to come up for a group picture because it was their last year at the elementary campus before coming over here next year in seventh grade. And while they were up there getting ready to take the picture, I said, do any of you want to share anything? And, you know, I expected a hand or two to go up. Well, they all near about wanted to share. And so we just passed the mic around. And I'm telling you what, kindergartners were crying. Fourth graders were crying. The sixth graders was crying. The teachers were crying. Mr. Hammer was in the back bawling. I was crying. I mean, to hear these kids testify of their love for God and their love for each other was absolutely overwhelming. I mean, I'd never seen anything like it. It was really, I'm not exaggerating, absolutely overwhelming. And what the Lord really laid on my heart, because when they got through testifying, it was like 10 minutes before chapel was over, and I was like, y'all just tore up my sermon, you know. So I felt led to talk about the greatest two commandments. Number one, that we love God. And number two, that we love our neighbors as ourselves. And what I saw at the school today was a group of kids that, number one, absolutely love God. They love Jesus. They love His Word. And that was just expressed today. Hearing sixth graders testify, I mean, it was just beautiful. And then to hear them connect and to have such a love for one another. And this is what I thought, man. You know, if our kids left Word of God Academy and they knew Bible facts and truths, hallelujah. But if they had this knowledge of God's Word but did not have love for Him or for each other, then we're what 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, we're just a noise. And what I saw there today was that true love for God, true love for each other, and I felt like, okay, mission accomplished. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a school. So it was beautiful. But last week, I went to lunch with Mr. Heron, and he pushed across the table a little black box, and I just figured he wanted me to see a sample of our new class ring. And I want you to know that what he did was is he had got me my very own Word of God Academy class ring. So I mean to tell you, I was filled with so much emotion. It's got Pastor on one side, McMinnis on the other, Word of God Academy 2010, and this just absolutely moved me. And so, Mr. Heron, thank you for thinking about me. And so I technically got the first class ring. I know 22 is a little late to begin your class ring, but it's okay. Amen. Let's get in the Word. Romans chapter number 10. And if you don't have your kids enrolled at Word of God Academy, what are you waiting on? Where they get Jesus is the preeminent one, and we're just seeing God glorified in their lives. It's amazing. Hallelujah. Romans 10, let's start in verse number 8. Romans 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Let's read verse 8 out loud together. Ready? Read. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Father, we thank you for your word, that it never returns unto you void, that it is an incorruptible seed. Father, we praise you that you have set us in a place to be filled with a hunger for your word. Lord, I thank you for giving us hunger and thirst for righteousness, for faith, for your word. Because Lord God, we can testify here tonight that we did not always have this desire, and we thank you for it, God. Thank you for the gift of your spirit come to lead us into all truth. And Father, I pray right now for all that would be under the sound of my voice, that you would bless our hearing, that your people would receive revelation knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, conviction of truth. Lord God, I ask that you speak through me words that you would have spoken, that your spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these your people your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and you may be seated. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Four witnesses all say, the just shall live by faith. Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. Faith is not an event. Faith is not something that we should turn on when we get ourselves in an issue. Faith is what we've been called to live by. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is God, and number two, that he is a rewarder, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's the Lord God, our recompense. That's one of the old covenant names of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah Gamola, the Lord God, our recompense. He's a God of response. He's a God of reward. And Hebrews 11:6 says he responds to faith. He rewards faith. He recompenses faith. The question is do we understand how to live by faith? I was saved for several years and did not understand how to live by faith. My faith was limited. I remember sitting in service feeling bad that I was frustrated, that I wasn't hearing more beyond how to be saved. And then I would think, well, who am I to judge the message? Maybe somebody here's not saved and they need this message on how to be saved. And I found myself at the invitation, you know, going through, you know, singing the song, Oh, Why Not Tonight? And you knew it was going to be a long invitation when it was a Sunday morning. You'll figure that out later. And thinking, well, surely somebody's going to walk and be saved. The message just came forward, but everybody in the church had already accepted Christ in a little small church where I was saved. And so the next Sunday I would think, surely, you know, there's somebody here needs this word on how to be saved. And I was hungry, but didn't know what I was hungry for. But I knew that I was saved, but I knew there was more. And I sat there just saying, okay, it's up to me. I've got to get in the word. I've got to find his will. I've got to find faith. I feel like it's in the heart of every believer to want to grow in faith. I don't believe that's our intellect. I don't believe that's our intelligence or our spirituality. I believe it is a gift that is given to us by the Holy Spirit when he moved in on the day that we were redeemed and sealed by his Spirit. There is a craving and a longing for more. You may have gotten to a place where you don't think there's any more, but I want you to know the just shall live by faith. There is life in faith that will never grow old, that will never have you setting up under the ministry of the word, you know, not growing and not desiring more. We just need the appetite. We just need the desire. And if you have not had that desire, I pray that you would ask God to soften your heart and to cultivate your heart for the incorruptible seed of his word, and never let this word grow old to you. No matter what you've heard before, no matter what you think you know, come before this word saying, Lord, I pretend to know nothing. Open my heart to receive from you. Because if we don't have that kind of desire, then our heart's not going to be good ground for the Word of God. How many of you tonight want more? How many of you today want more? I want more of you, God. I want to experience you in every aspect of my life. I want to see you move and manifest in the way I think. I want to see you move and manifest in the way I speak and the way I treat people, the way I live. I want to see you move in my faith, my family, my future, and my finances. I want to see you do something, God, that would leave me awestruck. And I'm telling you that we have a God that is a God of reward. He's a God of recompense, and he responds to our desire. He responds to our expectation for him to do something that only he can do. That's what's so powerful about a worship service, when people congregate and they have a passion for God to move, and God says, oh, you came with expectation. Your expectation shall not be cut off. I will respond. I will respond. One of the names of God in the Old Testament is El Shaddai. El Shaddai. And it means many-breasted one. Many-breasted one. The God of abundance. The God of resource. But with that name, El Shaddai, many-breasted one, you have to understand that paps don't supply for their young until the demand is made. But when a demand is made, you know, then the supply is given. And as long as the demand is made, God has ordered or ordained, you know, for the mother to continue to supply. So when God says, I'm the many-breasted one, he's saying, I'm the God of sufficiency. I'm the God of supply, but not without the demand, not without the faith, not without the expectation, not without the coming to God, asking, seeking, knocking. Ask, it's given. Knock, the door is open. Seek, you find. But what is God saying? If you want to find, you got to seek. If you want the door open, you got to knock. If you want to receive, you got to ask. See, he's saying there's got to be a partnership in this thing, and that is the life of faith. Now, watch this here in Romans 10, because in this series, what I want to do is talk about the operation of faith, the work of faith, so we're not just satisfied to say, I have faith, but we're not actually living by faith. And there is a difference. So watch this here, and I know we've looked at it before, excuse me, but let's look at it again, verse 8. But what saith it? Read it with me. The word is nigh thee, read it, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So according to Romans 10:8, faith has to exist in your heart and in your mouth. Do you see it? It's got to exist in the heart and in the mouth. Now, that's not the only place, but that's where faith is conceived and where its power begins to be released. You've heard me say, and I'm gonna say it again, there is not a more powerful position than for a born-again believer to declare the word of God in the authority of the name of Jesus. I'm gonna say it one more time. There is not a more powerful position than for a born-again believer to declare the word of God in the authority of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God has called you and I to voice his word. And something very powerful happens when we do, and it is a part of the operation of faith. Now, watch this here, and we'll go down to verse number 17, because we looked at verses 14 through 17 last week, where you see an order to faith begin to be laid out. He says in verse 14, and I'm going to back up and do it anyway, how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? How can there be a confession when there's no belief? Jesus teaches us in Matthew 12, around verse 38, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the mouth is going to speak consistently and in agreement with what the heart is filled with. So how shall they call, confess what they have not believed? So there's got to be some belief in the heart before the mouth is going to line up. But how shall they believe in him of whom they've not what? Heard. So before the word can be in your mouth, the word has got to be in your heart. But before the word can be in your
heart, it's got to be in your ear. You've got to hear it. You've got to hear it, and then you've got to spend time meditating in it so that that word that you heard gets cultivated in your heart, and then it's got to come out of your mouth. It's not faith if it's not in your heart and it's not in your mouth. I get frustrated with believers that I've run into that will tell me, "Oh, Pastor, you make too much of this. God knows what's in my heart," because I might correct somebody when I hear them say something with their mouth. I forgot who it was yesterday I had to correct and saying something from me. I'm like, "Don't say that. You just sat there right in front of me and spoke death over the situation. Don't say that in front of me. I'm not going to let you get away with saying this head is killing me. I'm not going to let you get away with saying this job's going to be the life of me. Well, it's not a big deal. God knows what's in my heart." God knows what's in your heart, but what's coming out of your mouth? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Our words are powerful. And so faith is not operating if it's not in your heart and in your mouth. And so he goes on here in verse 17, and he says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So read verse 17 out loud with me. Ready? Read. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." But according to these verses in context, verses 8 through 17, the word of faith cannot stop with your hearing. That's where it begins. But what's the next step according to these verses? If I've been hearing the word, and you look at everything he said from verse 8 to verse 14 down to verse 17, what's he saying? He's saying faith, faith cometh by hearing. The process starts by what you're hearing. That's where it begins, with what you're hearing. But it can't end there, because you've got to believe, you've got to meditate, you've got to get that word in your heart, allow that word to get impregnated in your heart. And then now, when that word is fully sown in your heart, then it has to come out of your mouth. Now, that's an easy process right there for us all to be able to see. It's almost like ABC, 1, 2, 3, simple as ABC. I mean, it's right there. Hear, believe, and confess. Say it. Hear, believe, and confess. But because we've not had the right definition of belief, I want to take that word and put it in its right perspective, which according to the Bible cover to cover, it's meditation. You hear, you meditate, you confess. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he said, "Don't let this word out of your mouth until you have first meditated therein." Psalms 1 talks about the counsel that we receive, the words that we receive, and what we do with those words. There is a consistent message in God's word that when we hear the word, we must meditate on that word, envision that word in our heart, and then speak. So hear, meditate, confess. Say that with me. Hear, meditate, confess. If you're doing those three things right there, faith is operative in your life right now. There is faith that's operative in your life when you are hearing, meditating, and confessing. Say it one more time. Hearing, meditating, and confessing. If you are not doing those three things, then there's no sense in me talking about how to work your faith, because your faith is not existent. It's not there if you're not hearing, meditating, and confessing the Word of God. Now, some folk ain't gonna hear what I'm saying. Well, help yourself. I'm trying to help somebody that's wanting to be helped. According to the Word of God, if you want faith operative in your life right now, you've got to be hearing His Word, meditating in His Word, and confessing His Word. That's why what you heard back in 1972 doesn't have anything to do with right now if you're not hearing it today, meditating on it today, and confessing it today. Because some folk, you'll try to help, and they'll say, "I heard that in Sunday school," but you're not meditating on that today, and you're a long way from Sunday school, and that's not what's coming out of your mouth today, and you're a long way from Sunday school. So you may have heard that back in Sunday school, but it's not helping you today, because that's not a part of what you're hearing, meditating, and confessing. Are y'all with me here? Doesn't matter how long you've been. You say, "I've been a Christian for 62 years. You can be a Christian for 162 years. If you're not hearing and meditating and confessing the Word of God, your faith is not operating. There's nothing, there's no corresponding action to faith, because faith is not existent. Your faith is out of order. Your faith is out of order. It'd be like going to a Coca-Cola machine and you're trying to get a Coke and a smile, but you're not gonna have no smile because the Coca-Cola machine is out of order. And you throwing money in there, nothing's coming out because it got a big old sign you won't read, says out of order. And if faith is not in your ear and in your heart and in your mouth, your faith is out of order and there's not going to be any operation of faith. I'm not trying to get on nobody. I'm not mad at nobody. I get to hollering because I get excited because I got conviction. Are you with me here? Okay, now, let's do this. Let's go back to Joshua 1. Because what I want to do is I want to get into the work of faith. But I can't go to the work of faith if your faith is out of order, not in commission. So I want to show you how to do that. Hear, meditate, confess. So if you've got a problem, raising your kids, and you need wisdom and faith for raising your children, and you're really struggling as a parent, you're like, man, Lord, I just need faith. I need faith because I want to make the right decision for my children. Because God will honor a right decision for your child. Before Word of God Academy became Word of God Academy, I remember sitting on the board before it was Word of God Academy, and Mr. Heron will tell you, he's here, were you on the board before it was Word of God Academy? You were? And the only thing I think I ever said to the board before Word of God Academy purchased school, the only thing I think I ever said was this. I said, you know, God built a nation, Israel, off of a man by the name of Abraham. And Genesis tells us that the reason he chose Abraham to build his nation is because he knew Abraham would teach his children the way of the Lord. So the nation of Israel was built off of a man that God looked at and said, I know he'll teach his children right. And so God took that man, Abraham, withdrew him from Haran, from the family and everybody he knew, to establish a holy, righteous nation because he said, here's a man that'll teach his children. And was able to give him a miracle child, Isaac, at a ripe old age because he said, this is a man that'll teach his children. And the only thing I ever said to that boy before Word of God Academy took over school is I said this. I said, if God could build a nation off of one man that said, I'm going to teach my children in the way of the Lord, surely he can build a school off that same principle. Now, I'm saying that to say this to you. God will move miraculously in your life when you make decisions for your children that are in line with his will. But if you are challenged with the need, mental, wisdom, financial, to be an effective mom or dad or mom and dad for your child, and you need faith for that, you've got to get in the word. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God as it relates to being a parent. See, that's why I can't get up here every Sunday and only talk about money. Now, your pockets may get lined with a bunch of dead presidents, but your marriage is a wreck, your home is a wreck, your mind is a wreck, everything else is a wreck because the only thing your preacher ever talks about is money. You cannot have faith for parenting without hearing the word on parenting. You cannot have faith in a righteous marriage without hearing the word as it relates to marriage. You cannot have faith in health in your body if you don't hear a word that's related to health in your body. Without hearing the word on that specific thing, you can't have faith for that thing in your life. So I need all the word on everything. I need to know what God has said about everything, my mind, my body, my marriage, my kids, my finances, my future. I need his word on everything. That way I can have faith for anything. Hey, they will stir me up in here. I need to have a reservoir of faith on everything that may, no matter what may happen, I got faith for it. Hallelujah. Now, y'all don't stir me up. Now, watch this in Joshua 1. Y'all be easy on me. Now, I've been playing, 21 with my boys, and we out there, playing basketball, and I got to remind them that I'm just 22. And these young people have this new phrase now, breaking ankles. Now, messing around, sprained my ankle. I said, y'all quit confessing all that breaking ankle stuff. Thank God he was gracious to my left foot. I can't stomp tonight. My left foot kind of throbbing. I'm trying to be a little easy. So y'all got to walk me through this now. But I still won. Come on, somebody. I got a 5-game winning streak going on. And I told him right now, you're going to have to wait because I got to recoup my ankle and I'll come back later. I don't normally wear high tops, but I ordered me a pair off the internet and they came in today. My son pulling my high tops all out the box. I said, put them things, don't get no ideas. That's daddy's shoes right there. Get my ankle right. I'm going to keep my winning streak alive. I need me some faith for my ankles. Now watch this. Joshua chapter 1, you get there, say amen. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That almost sounds, what do you mean shall not depart out of your mouth? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But, help me somebody, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So he says, before it comes out of your mouth, do what? Meditate in it. How often? Every Sunday morning. All right. I'm just kidding. Day and night. All right. So this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. So according to what I just read, what comes first, meditation or confession? Meditation. But how are you going to meditate on what you never heard? How are you going to meditate on what you have not heard? You're sitting around watching the news, looking what's going on in the world, got your face in Facebook all the time. How are you going to meditate on the word? I'm always learning new things about me that was said about me on Facebook. Found out something new about me today. I said, what you say? And, you know, it don't even faze me no more. I'm like, it just rolls right off of me. Like, I don't have time for all that foolishness. People want to put my name on Facebook. I ain't got time for all that mess. I ain't going to meditate on all that mess. Mess around and get anxious and think, don't nobody love me because of what I read on Facebook. No, I'm going to get in this book. So you can't help but meditate on what you're spending your time in. What are you looking at all the time? What are you reading? What are you hearing? What's in front of you? Because whatever you set in front of your eyes and ears, which are the spiritual gates to your soul, your eyes and your ears are spiritual gates to your soul. So whatever you're feeding your soul, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You become the product of what you think. So you've got to spend time meditating in the word. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. Look at that right there. Let's read up to observe to do, which means we're going to include observe to do. All right, ready? Read. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. That you may observe to do. That you may observe to what? Do. In other words, if you'll spend time hearing the word, if you'll spend time meditating in the word, if you spend time confessing the word, then you will start to do the word. I didn't say that. He said that. He said, if you want to observe to do, you've got to hear, meditate, and confess. Once you've heard and meditated and confessed, he says, now you will observe to do. You will start to do. Now, notice what he said. He said, you will observe to do. In other words, inevitably, there's going to be some corresponding action once you begin to change what you're hearing, meditating, and confessing. Now the action of faith is gonna come next. There are a lot of people that aren't living faith because they never got the hearing and the meditating and the confessing down. And so notice how clear he just laid that out. That you may observe to do. Do what? Read it with me. According to all that is written therein, keep reading, For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. He's saying you're going to start prospering, and prosperity is not a word that's limited to money. You know, you want in prosperity churches? Yes and no. Yes, in that I believe in prosperity, but I believe in total life prosperity. And I believe in prosperity because it's in the Bible. 3 John verse 2, God says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So God wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul, even as my mind prospers. But watch this, prosperity is not it's not limited to finances. Prosperity is the overall health of your life, the overall condition of your life. It's peace in your mind, soundness in your spirit, wisdom in your life. It is faith, it's physical, mental, spiritual, and financial, prosperous. It includes finances. So quit praying in prayers about, Lord, I just need enough for me and my wife and my little boy and my dog. Well, aren't you just sweet? You don't want the Lord to do nothing for you, nothing no more than what for you and your precious wife and little boy and little dog need. Well, what's that going to do for the children down in Guatemala that are drinking dirty water? What's that going to do for the family down the street that's in a broken neighborhood and they don't know that there's hope to come out and raise their children? They don't know the hope of the gospel. What's that going to do for somebody you could be paying their mortgage? What's that going to do for somebody you could be giving them a car? What's that going to do for somebody you could be helping? What's that going to do for the family that you could be sponsoring their child to go to Word of God Academy? Come on, somebody. How are you going to bless somebody else when you pray and say, Lord, in my humility, I only want enough for me, my wife, the son and the dog. Like God's just gonna honor that. Oh, bless your heart. You only want enough just for you. And now you can't be blessed to be a blessing. God wants you to prosper financially. Yes, amen. Amen means so be it. Total life prosperity. Total life prosperity. Can you say that out loud? Total life prosperity, mental, physical, spiritual, financial. That's the manifestation of God's blessing that I see in the Bible. Well, you know, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. Love of money is the root of all evil. Difference between money and love of money. Love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it is the root of all evil. Well, Jesus didn't have no house. He didn't have a house in Samaria. You're taking that out of context. Jesus had a treasurer. Broke folk don't need treasurers. Moving right along. Now, let's go over, put your bookmark here in Joshua. Put your bookmark here. And come all the way back to the New Testament, and I want to go to James, the book of James. And I want to talk about faith here, chapter 2, because Joshua 1:8 just said, don't confess the word till you've meditated, because after you've, yeah, that's good, Lord. Ooh, that's good. See, I knew there was something there. The reason God wants me to meditate before I confess is because the confession is going to make the faith public, which is going to make you accountable for corresponding action. So that means faith has got to be real in your heart before you speak it out your mouth. Because once you speak it out of your mouth, now everyone that heard what you said is going to watch to see if your actions line up with what you said. Are y'all with me? So I need to hear the word. And you sometimes, you know, you'll be working on something in your mind and in your heart, and don't everybody know you're working on something. But you're processing the word in your heart. You're processing your faith in your heart. And you hadn't said it yet because it ain't time. But you're just processing that thing. And then at the right time, you know, maybe with the person that's closest to you, perhaps your spouse or dear friend or prayer partner, you say, hey, you know, and you start releasing, you know, that thing outside of your prayer closet. And now, once you start confessing that thing, it's time for corresponding action. And I'm going to show you an example of that here in just a minute. All right, watch this in James 2, and I want to go down to verse number 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Faith means it needs corresponding action. And so people can say, well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. That means the devils at least have some corresponding action. They tremble. You believe and they ain't done nothing. But if you really believe that God sent forth his son to die for your sins, and you've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, then now you're going to respond to what he said to do. In other words, you're going to respond in faith, just as Romans chapter 10 says, with thy heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then verses 9 and 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So there's a response to what I've heard. Everybody get that? Now, watch what he says here. Faith without corresponding action is dead, being alone. Yeah, man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works, faith without corresponding action, is dead? And then he gives us an example in verse 21 of Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? She believed that they were sent of God. She hung that red thread out of her window, was the type of faith in the blood, and God saved her and her family in that room when they took Jericho. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Corresponding action is what I want you to see. There has to be corresponding action to our faith. Now, go back where you got your bookmark. And let's go now to chapter 6. All right, so I'm hearing the word. I'm meditating the word. I'm confessing the word. Y'all with me? Say it with me then. I'm hearing the word. I'm meditating the word. I'm confessing the word. Faith is operative. Now, once the confession is made of faith, there needs to be corresponding action. What are you doing? How are you living? What steps are you taking? Corresponding action. So God tells Joshua, you hear the word, you meditate the word, you confess the word. But don't you confess that word until you meditate in it. Is that what he told Joshua? All right, come over to the 6th chapter and let's see what happens. Chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 1. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see. See what? I have given into thine hand Jericho. Read that part with me out loud. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. Emphasize C one more time. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. What's he telling Joshua to see? That he's given him Jericho. But what did we just read about Jericho? Okay, naturally speaking, does Joshua have Jericho? No. But what's he telling Joshua to see? That he has Jericho. See, if you don't see it, you'll never see it. God comes to Joshua and he says, I need you to see something. I need you to start seeing that I've given you Jericho. I don't need you walking around talking about how big those walls are. I don't need you walking around talking about those walls will never fall. I don't need you walking around talking about I'll never get in Jericho. I'll never get in Jericho. Nobody ever gets a job there. I don't need you confessing about what you're going to never enter into. I need you to see. See, I hear it, the promise of God. Then I meditate, and meditating is the process of where I'm beginning to see something with my mind's eye. Hallelujah. See, the stuff I'm telling you is in the Bible. And I got way more evidences of than just this. But watch this. He said, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. So we know he heard because God spoke, and now he's telling him to see it. Now watch verse 3. He says, and you shall compass the city, all ye men of war. Go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. You see it? But notice what he tells him regarding his words. Drop down to verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout. Oh, you shall not shout, y'all. Nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth. Stop right there. He says, see, I've given you Jericho. See, I need you to see that I've given you Jericho. But I don't need you saying I've given you Jericho. Don't say it yet because you hadn't seen it yet. When you can see it, then you can say it. But until you can see it, don't you say it. Don't say it till you see it. Because if you say it before you see it and somebody around you doesn't see it, they'll talk you out of seeing it because they heard you say it. Now, don't ask me to say all that again because that's too hard. But you know how folk will do. You'll say, I see, and they'll say, I can't see it. And you'll know you see it. So now I know I can't be saying what I'm seeing until I know I'm seeing what I'm saying. Come on, somebody. And so, watch this. He said, don't say nothing now. Don't say nothing. As a matter of fact, it's going to take 6 days for you to see this. 6 days for you to see it. And I want you to go around that city for 6 days. And for 6 days, you're not saying nothing because you're seeing you take that city. Hallelujah. And then he told them after the seventh time, watch verse 16, and it came to pass that at the seventh time when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, read it with me, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. But in reality, the walls were still standing. He gave them the city because after 6 days of seeing it, they finally saw it. Whatever you tell me you can't see, you never will. And just because it's not been seen doesn't mean it can't be seen. Somebody's just got to be able to see it. So, now notice, they would then take the city because God would knock those walls down flat. Let's go down to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. See, that was their sycamine. Go back to volume one. Remember in volume one, Jesus said, if you got faith, you speak to the sycamine tree, and the sycamine tree will obey you if you've got faith in God. What he was really saying is you've got the God kind of faith and will operate through the God kind of faith. You will speak to the sycamine tree, and the sycamine tree will be gone, but not if you don't see the sycamine tree gone. So what's your sycamine? Because you got to see it gone. Pastor, I've been confessing to that tree for 3 years. Have you seen that tree gone for 3 years? I did not try that. There we go. If you're saying it before you see it, your faith is out of order. I don't waste my time confessing things I can't see. It's a waste of my words. I got to be able to see it before I say it. I said, what you think about this? I ain't ready to say nothing. I can't see it yet. When I say it, I want to be like God. Let there be light. See, God saw darkness and said light. He has so much light. He could see light despite what was on the outside. He saw light. Light in me be. He spoke and light flooded this universe and creation came out of his words. When you and I would look at that and might have said, it sure is dark. All right, now let's go over. Will y'all give me a good 10 more minutes? All right, come with me back to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Genesis 22. That's going to be good right here. Watch this. I'm getting stirred up. You say, Pastor, what do I see? You see his word. We don't let the world teach us what we can see. We've let the world tell us what we need to be looking at. Why can't we develop a vision off what God said? That folk tell me all forever that there would never be an integrated church in Shreveport. And they would try to encourage me at the same time. Oh, Brother James, we just love your little heart. Oh, we just love your heart. You just love people. Oh, we just love your little heart. Pat me on the back. We just love your heart. Bless his heart, Jesus. He's just sweet. He's just precious. Not going to be no inner black folk and white folk. Bless his heart, Jesus. I had people try to talk, in their mind talk sense into me. That would never happen in Shreveport. But I read Revelation 5 and saw that heaven had every nation and every tongue. So if it's going to look like that in heaven, how come it can't look like that in the earth? How come it can't? Now, listen, I ain't saying that about me. I'm just saying I know what it's like to have a vision that folk, when you said it, will talk you out of it. But if you got that thing written down, hey, glory to God, can't nobody talk you out of what you have already seen by faith. God told Habakkuk, he said, I want you to write this vision down and I want you to make it plain that you may run with it. That means your vision's got to be so engrafted, so documented that you're able to now run with your faith. That means there needs to be corresponding action to your faith. And he said, look, though it tarry, just wait on it. It will surely come. And when it comes, it will not lie and it will speak for itself. But you have to speak for your vision until it speaks for itself. I got to say that again. You have to speak for your vision until your vision speaks for itself. But you can't get to that place of speaking for your vision when you are double-minded in your heart. Is that making sense?
All right, watch this. Watch this. Genesis 22. Here, God tells Abraham to offer up his only son, Isaac, first and second verse. The same boy that God had told him would be the seed that would bring forth a lineage that would outnumber the stars. This was a miracle child. So they head on up to the mount, and we'll go to verse 3. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Read verse 4 with me. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. All right? Now, would you say, oh, it's going to be good? Would you say, I'm getting excited before we get there, y'all. It's like a movie I've seen before. Ooh, we get to the good part. Give me back my popcorn. That's what I do with my wife when the movie gets good. Like, give me back my popcorn, girl. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lift up his eyes. Would you say in verse 4, Abraham seeing something?
Yes.
He lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said, look, in verse 4, he lifted up his and saw. So in verse 4, he saw. In verse 5, he said. Y'all got to help me with this. In verse 4, he saw. But in verse 5, he said. See, you got to see it before you say it. And it's 3 days into this journey, so he's had a chance to develop some vision. I can't wait to show you what he's got going on. So he sees something in verse 4, and in verse 5, his mouth is lining up with it. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the donkey. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean come again to you? You're supposed to be taking that boy and offering him. That boy's supposed to be dead. But he's talking about, no, he's coming back. And I don't need y'all going with me any further because you don't see it. You had messed this whole thing up. So y'all got to wait right here while me and the boy go yonder because you can't see what it's taken me all these days to get a hold of. But I see it, and I'm telling you, me and that boy going yonder and we coming back. But you got to wait right here because I just ain't sure you see what I see. Woo! And so now he and the boy head on up the mount to the place that God had told him of. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto his father and said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Remember in verse 4, Abraham saw something. Notice verse 8, and Abraham said. See, he's still talking in line with what he saw. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. He didn't say, oh boy, just keep praying with me. You know, the Lord works in mysterious ways. I don't know what's going to come of this, but heaven's on the other side, son. No, he said, son, don't you worry. God will provide himself a lamb. His mouth is still lining up with whatever he saw in verse 4. And so they go up there and he lays that boy on that altar. And in verse 10 says, Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called
unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. See, all he needed was some corresponding action, and Jehovah Gamola stepped right in there. God will always respond to faith. Hallelujah. And Abraham, now notice now, he lifting up his eyes again. Oh, I just can't hardly wait. This is the second time he's lifting up his eyes. Watch this. And Abraham lifted, read it with me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. So now it's not just lifting up the eyes. Now he's looking. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. He lifted up his eyes and he looked. Something's getting ready to manifest. See, he saw it. He said it. Now he's going to see it. You said, Pastor, I thought he already saw it. He did by faith. But now he's about to see the manifestation of it. He saw it. He said it. He acted on it. Now he's getting ready to see the manifestation of it. And so Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Read it with me. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. Keep reading. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now read that last statement in verse 14 in the mount of. Read with me. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. One more time. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Guess what that means, it shall be seen? That's Jehovah Jireh. We have made Jireh provision. God my provider. Jehovah Jireh. God my provider. Jehovah Jireh. God my provider. You're right, but you're not complete, because Jireh is not limited to provision. The word Jireh means his provision shall be seen. The definition is in that verse when he says here, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jireh means it shall be seen. What shall be seen? His provision shall be seen. The reason he named that place Jehovah Jireh is because what he saw, he saw. What he saw, he saw. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? God said, I will let you see what you saw. Now we got to go see what he saw. So real quickly, you got to see this. This is worth it. Stay with me. Come over to the book of Hebrews, because you got to see what he saw. If we don't see what he saw, we're going to miss it. Whoo, my goodness, this right here. Whoo, my God, come on, somebody. I just believe the Lord's going to be glorified in your lives. He's going to be glorified in this city, because all we got to do is begin to live by faith. Quit being moved by what you see. Quit being moved by what's going on in the world. All right, here we go. Here we go. Hebrews 11. I got two more verses, and you cannot, and when I say two more, that doesn't mean it's a good time for you to beat everybody out of the parking lot, because you need this word right here. Don't miss this. It's like the grand finale. This was the crescendo. Now, watch verse 17. Hebrews 11. Please tell me you're there. By faith, Abraham. By what, Abraham? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. We just read it, y'all. We just read it. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises, somebody say he heard them. See, heard, that's where it starts. Faith begins with what you hear. And he had heard a promise regarding Isaac, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You think I'm making stuff up? Look at verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God made a covenant in blood that through Isaac this seed would be called. So when God came around a little later and said, offer Isaac, Abraham was like, wait a minute, you swore that through Isaac would my seed be named. That means Isaac is going to bring me some grandbabies so that Isaac's got to live. And he's not had a Jacob yet. He's not had a son yet. Why you're asking me to lay him on an altar? You swore in covenant blood that Isaac would be the one to bring forth my lineage. So you may be telling me to offer him, but it cannot be the end of the story. Because you made a promise about Isaac. See, that's what's going on in Abraham's mind. That's why you gotta have the word. That means no matter what life throws at you, you say, wait a minute, it may look like this. I had a situation just this week that tried to rattle my cage, and I'm not even locked up, but tried to, you know, in my mind. I don't have any, you know, stronghold bars in my head where I need to be rattled, but the enemy was trying to put me in one. I mean, you know that you can get strongholds all in your mind. Free, but you're in bondage. And boy, the enemy tried to put me in a cage and rattle it over something. And naturally, it didn't look good. And then I thought, wait a minute. Lord, you said in your word that all things work for the good of them that love you and are called according to your purpose. And I know I love you. And I know this ministry is for your purpose. So no matter what I just heard, somehow or another, you're going to make even this work for good. I don't know how. That ain't my job to figure out what you already got worked out. But I can't be moved by the circumstances and situations, not when I got his promise. That's why you got to have his word. You got to know what promises of God. So watch this. Verse 18, he said, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Woo! Watch verse 19, y'all. Accounting. That God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Please read the rest. From whence also he received him in a figure. What does that mean, he received him in a figure? A figure means an image. He had already seen Isaac raised from the dead. Before he ever put him on the altar. That's why he could tell the young men, y'all wait here, we go yonder, we come back. He had already seen it. He saw his son raised from the dead. All right, now watch this. We'll close here and you can't miss it. Go with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Glory, glory, glory. Wait till you see John chapter 8. And when you see John chapter 8, you're going to know what Abraham saw when the Bible said he lifted up his eyes. Because remember, whatever he saw when he lifted up his eyes, whatever he saw, that's what moved him to do everything that he did. He was being moved by something he saw. And I'm going to show you what he saw right here in the Word. John chapter 8. You there? Say amen. Watch this. Go down to verse 56. And read it with me slowly. You ready? John 8, 56. Ready? Read it slowly with me. Here we go. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now watch what the natural mind does. Verse 57. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And, read with me, and hast thou seen Abraham? How could Abraham have seen your day? You ain't even 50. Them Pharisees had aged Jesus because in reality he was, you know, between 30 and 33. They put 20 years on him. Get my point here. They said, wait a minute, how could Abraham have ever seen your day? He saw a promised son through a miracle birth laid on an altar.
He saw a promised son through a miracle birth, laid on a wooden altar with a metal knife going through and penetrating his skin. He saw that miracle son through a miracle birth, laid on a wooden altar, pierced by metal, raised from the dead. When he saw that, God interrupted and said, "Wait, Abraham, stop right there. Don't do the lad no harm. I got what I need. I just needed somebody in the earth to have faith that I could raise the dead. I just needed somebody in the earth to get a picture of me raising my son from the dead. So Abraham, the reason I waited till you turned 100 to give you this baby was so the baby's birth would be miraculous. And the reason I told you to put him on this mount, because this is the mount that I will lay my son on. And the reason I made promise through Isaac that the seed of my lineage would come through him was because my lineage is going to come through my son. I set you up, Abraham, because I needed you to develop a vision. I needed you to develop a vision that I would take 2,000 years into the future. Not Father Abraham, Father God. Not Son Isaac, Son Jesus. Not on a wooden altar, but a wooden cross. Not a knife, but nails. Not Isaac being raised from the dead, but Jesus being raised from the dead." God's honored. He honored this man's faith and used his vision 2,000 years later and raised his own son up from the dead. And Jesus looked back at Abraham and said, "He rejoiced when he saw me." Well, when did Abraham see Jesus? When he lifted up his eyes. I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk out these doors looking at this world the way it is. It's time to lift up my eyes. I'm tired of looking at my family the way it is. I got to lift up my eyes and see their destiny. I cannot let fear grip me. I cannot let anxiety grip me when it comes to my wife, when it comes to my boys and my girls. I cannot let the thoughts that are orchestrated by this world infiltrate my mind when it comes to the destiny of my faith, my family, and my future. No, I have got to get this word planted in my heart and begin to see its promises manifest in my life, that Jesus might be glorified. That's faith, and it honors God. Let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for making your word a vehicle of faith. A vehicle of faith. If you're thirsty, you might say, "Would you bring me a glass of water?" You don't drink the glass, you drink the water that's in the glass. The glass just becomes the container to get the water to you. God has filled his word with faith. God has filled his word with faith. Faith is what the word contains. When you hear the word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where this whole life of faith and process of faith begins, hearing his word. You can't stop there. You've got to meditate day and night. See it. See what he said regarding your children. See what he said regarding your future. See what he said regarding your life. See it. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Nobody else is going to see it for you. You've got to see it. And when you know in your knower that you've received God's word, you've received his promise, you've received his will, and you can see it, start lining your mouth up with it. And then you'll observe to do. Then, and we'll talk about it next week, we're going to have corresponding action. And I want to give you just a minute, and I want you to see it. Oh, Lord, help us see. You have been judging your future. You have been judging your finances. You have been judging your family based on what you see in the natural. And God has called you to live by faith. You have eliminated His best from your life because of your past or present situation. And God is saying to you right now in this moment, take me at my word. Oh, hallelujah. Take me at my word. I am who I say I am, and I'll do what I said I'd do. What vision do you need to develop right now tonight? Promises that relate to what you're facing. And you stay in it till you see it. Jehovah Jireh, His provision shall be seen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. To a God that is faithful to His word. To a God that says, my word will not return unto me void. To a God that says, abide in me and my word in you. Ask what you will and it shall be done. To a God who says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these will fail. For what my mouth hath commanded, my spirit it will gather. It's a holy thing. It's a privilege. It's a righteous gift, a right for you and I to declare the word. So much so that God said in Psalms 50, verse 16, He said to the wicked, to the unbeliever, He said, what have you to do to put my word in your mouth? It's a privilege that we get to declare His word over our lives. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I believe your word. No man could have written such words. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. And I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. Thank you for justifying me by your innocent blood. I surrender my will to yours, and I choose right now to live by faith. Give me a conviction to hear your word, to meditate in your word, to confess your word, to observe and to do all that is written therein, that my life be prosperous, that I have good success, that my life bring you glory. I make a decision to cast down every thought and every imagination that has exalted itself in my mind against your word. In this moment, I cast those thoughts down. And I ask that you fill my heart with the faith of your word as I hear, meditate, and confess your promises over my life. You said in 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 that all of your promises are yea and amen. And as Abraham stood on your word and saw you glorified, I make a decision tonight to stand on your word, to stand on your promise by faith that you be glorified in my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.